I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, will you please take the roll?
Commissioner Mickley?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Skaronski?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start, Alderman Skaronski, how many years is this now?
Just a few.
You've been on here a little too long.
But not as an alderman, just a
no,
citizen.
As an alderman, this will be my seventh year.
Yeah. Yeah. How long altogether?
39.
Wow.
Did you get a pension?
I got it.
Yeah, what do you got?
He broke me in.
41 year.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for his pension?
Yeah. 70. Since 1972.
Well, because they have a multiplier.
Mine was 69.
Yeah.
Oh, that's outstanding. I also had to tell you that I had to buy Alderman Skaronski dinner the other day because he beat me in the percentages. He got 98% of the vote. So, congratulations. That's twice
and
in a row.
And you too, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Did a good job.
Yeah. I'm still jealous. Okay.
That's right. You can buy again.
The minutes are before you of Thursday, April 7th, 2011. Questions, comments? Now, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it.
One abstain.
Okay. Mr. Fuchs, please take the roll. Well, I can do this. Five ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Two abstentions.
Four ayes. No, maybe I can't do it. four ayes, no noes, two abstentions. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Yeah, this is going to drag on for a long time.
Yeah, I never was good at math. Let's see. Public hearings, business items. Item A, Lulu's Dog Powler, LLC. Mr. Beadle?
There is a public hearing notice.
Okay. Mr. Fuchs, please read the notice.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 21st, 2011, 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Lulu's Dog Parlor, LLC, for a special use to allow for a dog grooming with pet supply retail sales business use upon property zone B3 Community Business District, located at 7129 South 76th Street.
All right. I'm going to open item 3A, Lulu's Dog Powler, public hearing. I'm going to open it up for a citizen comment. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during a public hearing? Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone wishing to speak during a public hearing? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Deedle, how would you like to proceed?
I believe this is pretty straightforward. There was an issue in that under the SIC codes that this use would fit. It's not permitted in that zoning district B3. This is the Franklin Village Shopping Center. So we are doing a special use because with the condition that this would be approved if the next item on the agenda, which is a UDO text amendment to allow this kind of use to be a special use, is approved. So they would need this approval and the next one as well to be able to move into the building.
Okay.
But other than changing that SIC code in the UDO, we don't see any problems with this use. The reason we are asking for a special use is under that SIC code, there are other uses that could have impacts on neighbors. And so that's why we are asking this one to be a special use. And then the other thing I could point out is another, but it's more appropriate to the next item, is these kinds of uses are not allowed in a commercial district anywhere within the city, only in the M1 and the M2. So we do think it's appropriate to make this UDO text amendment, and that we also think it's appropriate that this use would fit inside the Franklin Village.
The way I understand this, because I did talk to the property owner, landlord, is that at one time they had a business in there that was doing similar things, but that may have been prior to the issuance of the Unified Development Ordinance.
Yeah, we're not aware of one. At least we checked our zoning enforcement records to make sure there's no problems from that standpoint, and we didn't pick up anything, so it must have been a while ago.
And then, as I understand it, the difference between this and some of the other animal care centers, like the one that's on Loomis Road or the one that's in the business park, is that the animals are not going to be kept for a period of time. They're not. It's not like a, stable or a kennel or
correct.
Something like that. This is more for the instant care and maintenance of dogs and cats, right?
Correct. Some of those types of uses would be in that same SIC code. That's why we're asking for this to be a special use. Animal shelters and boarding kennels would be the same SIC code. That's why we're asking for a special use here. But this particular use within the SIC code is not the same as those. That's why we'd be recommending approval. Okay.
That's what I thought we'd talk about. Mr. Fowler? I have a proposed motion on this, and that's a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for a dog grooming with pet supply retail sales business use upon property located at 7129 South 76th Street.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
I would think it would be appropriate to this be made conditioned upon the council changes to the UDO to allow this use.
It is in the ordinance. The ordinance is one of the conditions.
Next one.
So it's in the conditions.
I'll give Mr. Ritter a second.
Read.
Yeah, condition number 4.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Under discussion, I'll just say this, and I spent a good morning with, good part of the morning with the alderman for the district. Didn't raise any concerns at all. Normally anything in his district, this is Alderman Solomon. He's pretty particular about he would be here. I'm sure if there was a problem with it. So all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. On that, now we turn to item B. And Mr. Fuchs, you have another public notice?
Yes.
I knew it.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 21st, 2011 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by the City of Franklin for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 742, Veterinary Services Specialties, to allow for such use as a special use in the VB Village Business District, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 752, Animal Specialty Services, to allow for such use as a special use in the B2 General Business District, B3 Community Business District, B5 Highway Business District, VB Village Business District, and OL2 General Business Overlay District, and Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 5999, Miscellaneous Retail Stores Not Elsewhere Classified, to allow for such use as a permitted use in the B5 Highway Business District.
All right, I'm going to open this item 3B, regarding the text amendment public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding item 3B? Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding item 3B? Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding item 3B on tonight's agenda? Seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Deedle?
As I mentioned before, this and the previous item are related. This is the UDO text amendment to allow this use as a special use within those zoning districts, and in particular, this use would need the B3 change. We are recommending a similar change in the other zoning districts, the B2, the B5, the OL2, because they're similar types of districts We think this use should be allowed as a special use within those districts as well. While we were putting together the public hearing notice, we were thinking about doing the same thing for the VB district, adding this as a permit or special use in the VB district as well. However, upon some more thought and consideration, we're not so sure about that. There's more residential components within the VB. This might not be as good of a fit in the village district, so I'd be interested in hearing from the alderman in the district as well. So initially we thought VB would be okay too, but now we're not so sure. So our recommendation would be not to put it in the VB unless the alderman feels strongly about it. There are similar changes that we want to make too. There's a veterinary clinic SIC code that we wanted to make a change. We were proposing to put that in the VB as well. But again, same concern that we had with this SIC code for dog grooming. We're thinking there's too much of a residential component in the village district. Now we're not asking to put that into the VB anymore. And I believe that the city attorney's motion has reflected that change. Then the last change that we were recommending was the retail stores. Those are also similar to these as well in types of uses. So we wanted to make a consistent change across the board. If we're allowing dog parlor, veterinary clinic in some of these districts, we should also allow the retail side of things as well. So we're proposing to make those changes. But that's only necessary in the B5. So those are the three changes that were initially proposed. The dog grooming SIC code for all the B2, B3, B5, OL2. The retail store in the B5 is a permitted use. But we've backed away from making the changes to the village business district. So we are recommending approval with that change.
Okay. I did have the pleasure of talking to the city attorney just before the meeting when he informed me he wasn't going to be here, in which I also sort of begged him not to be here. It sounds to me like what we have in front of us is okay with the city attorney. And because I know there was a lot of discussion between the planning department and city attorney regarding this. So he seemed to be okay with that. That was just like moments after I had talked to the police chief that called me to say that they had arrested a 14-year-old over by the school. So so with that, any questions?
I do. Yeah, I don't have a problem with this type of business being in a village district area. As far as a kennel, I can say, yeah, that should not be in the village business because of the closeness of lots and things and limited commercial space that is in there. The grooming business is fine. It's not more than a dog barbershop. That's all it is. And so they sell supplies, no different if you go to a barbershop and like buy some stuff. So a kennel would be pushing it a little bit. We do have a veterinarian with a kennel on Forestham Avenue, which does excellent business and excellent job. And in fact, I think I got the majority of dog services in my district. They do a good job, and I have not had any complaints whatsoever regarding this type of business. And I would concur with that, and that would be fine to have a grooming business in the village, but not a dog kennel.
So 42 is okay, but not 750.
Yeah.
So would it be a fair statement to say that since you've been the alderman, it's gone to the dogs? Or
yeah, more ways than others.
All right, with that, is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table Chapter 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title, Number 742, Veterinary Services Specialties, to allow for such use as a special use in the VB Village Business District, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 752, Animal Specialty Services, to allow for such use as a special use in the B2 General Business District, B3 Community Business District, B5 Highway Business District, VB Village Business District, and OL2 General Business Overlay District, and Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 5999, Miscellaneous Retail Stores Not Elsewhere Classified, to allow for such use as a permitted use in the B5 Highway Business District, with the deletion of Title numbers 742 and 752 only as they pertain to the BB Village Business District. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Under discussion?
Randy's.
Yeah, you just said you agreed with leaving the 742 in and then moved to exclude it.
With the deletion of titles number 742 and 752.
Deletion.
Right. Yeah, deletion. I thought you agreed with inclusion of 742.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. Correct.
Would you accept a friendly amendment to
yes.
retain 742?
Yeah.
Okay. And the second to the motion? You're okay with that? All right. It's good to know that Mr. Ritter was listening to the motion.
We crossed the T's, he dots the I's.
I thought you were going to just come straight out and say what I said as
a motion. Right, I didn't do that.
All right, there's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded with the amendment as amended. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Okay.
Question? On the notices, are they sent just to the owners or to the tenants?
Owners, I believe.
Should really, in my mind, in a strip shopping center like this, somehow we should send that to the tenants.
I think it would be the responsibility of the owner to make sure he gets it, because if he's going to rent out that space, he better have the rest of the tenants informed of what's going on. I know they did that when he had the dog veterinarian in there. So, that's my opinion on it. It never came to a problem whatsoever.
What have we historically done?
Just the owners. It would be an added extra step that we would have to make a policy or put it in the UDO if we wanted to contact the tenants, but we could do it. If we would, I would suggest that we do it in addition to the owners, not instead of, because I think it's an important step to have the owner talk to his tenants to explain his side of the story, whichever way, if he supports or opposes, rather than just getting dry facts from staff. I think it would also get the owners.
Yeah. I'd leave it to the owner.
Yeah, I would go with the owner. We had a there was a group that came in to see me recently who said they wanted to come into a retail center. Only to find out that the owner of the center had no knowledge that they were even contemplating it.
Yeah, we had one a couple years ago, too. Project started.
Yep.
Because it was just a tenant, potential tenant, wanting something. They hadn't talked to the owner yet. And we'd started working on it already.
Yeah, should go to the owner.
Okay, I'll turn to item C, City of Franklin, Unified Development Ordinance off-street parking space and on-site queuing requirement revisions.
There's a public hearing. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 21st, 2011 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by the City of Franklin for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text to amend Section 15-5.0203 and Table 15-5.0203 to reduce off-street parking space and on-site queuing requirements for non-residential uses.
All right. We'd open up item C on the agenda for off-street parking public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing on item C? Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing on item C? Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing on item C regarding ordinance for off-street parking space and on-site queuing requirement revisions? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Deedle?
This matter has been before the Plan Commission back in February and in March. The city attorney has had an opportunity to look at the draft ordinance and has made some changes, and I believe that track change version has been provided to you. that would be the version we're proposing to forward to the Common Council. So staff is recommending these changes. Again, it goes back to there's been a history, I guess, of applicants looking for amounts of parking different than what the UDO sets forth. And the Planning Commission and the Council in many instances have granted those changes. So we wanted to reflect those kinds of decisions straight up front in the UDO. So we've adjusted the actual numbers in the table in the UDO to reflect a greater emphasis on basing the amount of parking on the size of the building rather than the number of employees, which can vary greatly from time to time. We also made some changes to those numbers to reflect what's more commonly used across other communities for, like, restaurants. And there are some national APA standards that we borrowed for that. And then the other point I would want to make, I guess, is that these changes include changes to the number in the table. These changes also include establishing a range. So you can go that 10% or five spaces above or the 25% below. And if they're within that range and there's nothing that triggers concern by staff or the Plan Commission, they can do that. If they're within that range, but staff or the Plan Commission has a concern saying, yeah, you're in the range, but however, there's some extenuating circumstances that won't work, Plan Commission would have the authority to still say no. And then if they want to go outside that range, they could even try to do that as well. And then we have a process set forward here, what kind of information we'd be looking for to justify why they want to go outside that range. And again, that would be up to the Plan Commission to say yes or no. And then that would be a recommendation in most instances forward to the Common Council. But if it was a site plan, that would be the final decision. So those are the changes. What the city attorney has done as he's redrafted the ordinance to be tighter, better. But the goals and the objectives and the standard numbers that we're talking about have not changed. So we are recommending approval. At one point we have talked, Alderman Olson, for instance, has been very interested in this. So he's talked to us staff. He's even talked to Mark about this a couple of times, and I believe he's generally okay with these changes. So we are recommending approval of this with the version of the ordinance as submitted by the city attorney.
So you're saying one of the six aldermen or seven elected officials?
Yes. He's been very interested and has talked to Mark a couple of times and talked to us as well. But
usually requires four votes. Alderman Skransky.
Yeah, I think I talked to Joe about this several times regarding the parking, on taking net usable space, not gross space.
Yes.
And because that is a complete deterrent to a business to where the cloakroom, the kitchen, a bar, a bathroom, that's all included in the space, and that's totally ridiculous. People don't congregate in those particular areas. You have employees, which that parking is provided for, which should not be included in the gross overall of a building because it's totally ridiculous, and that's where the parking is so off balance regarding that. It's got to be the space, and those changes are in here. I just got this tonight, so you know I didn't get a chance to read this whole thing, which I really hate always to have this, especially when this issue has been brought up many times, and I did talk to you, Joe, about this years back about this particular ordinance. So the concern I had is the things that I talked to you about have been changed in here?
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Yeah, could open it up for a public hearing. There's nothing that says that the Plan Commission has to take action tonight. I just comment, and that's that I was over at Bayshore last weekend, and we've got on-site parking. We've got parking facility there, and they've got more squeezed into that little space.
Isn't that terrible?
Well, I was going to say the opposite, because my understanding is that place is doing tremendously well, and they don't have an ocean of parking space. It's all up, and I would guess that the amount of parking spaces that are required in the city of Franklin in comparison to what they've got over there is pretty unusual. And then I'd also at Mayfair, they keep adding buildings around Mayfair, and the more buildings they're putting in, the busier they're getting, and the more popular it's becoming. So I understand the issue of that. You don't want to have overflow parking, but you know, there's two sites right off the bat that are doing fantastically well.
Mayfair has a right structure.
Yeah. Mr. Fuller?
Yeah, I like the idea of changing that, and I'm going to agree with the mayor on this, that I like those types of developments that where we have the flexibility to start to see different ways of coming up with this parking and how they can calculate that, because I do see the future is in making places less dependent on automobiles and that kind of transportation, where you have these parking requirements sometimes it frowns on that pedestrian friendly, like they call it pedestrian friendly, I don't like that term, but non-automobile arriving transportation to get in there, that kind of shopping center with buildings up on the front of the street and having more pedestrian friendly, I guess is the term we're going to have to use. I think this allows for that a little more than our previous ordinance, and I've been supportive of it.
Alderman Skazki.
Yeah, I just think it's important to really look at this. Times are changing and everything else, and if we can accommodate, you're never going to accommodate people Christmas time or the massive rush that people are going to be there. Okay, that's the peak. But on the normal times, which is the other maybe 340 days of the year, you don't need all that. So why put it out there? Why use it where you can use that for other things, and people are, if they can, I'm not saying if they go Christmas shopping you're going to take their bike, but that is friendly than the other seasons of the year, that they may grab one bag, and they might use the bike or something like that. We don't have to over an abundance of all this parking.
And it also seems to me that, I'm going to guess that we don't even know who the original author of this language.
I think it's a team effort.
It's better, though.
I don't remember, but I really do think that most businesses are going to want to have sufficient parking. I mean, that's their business, and they generally know what they need. And sometimes I think our code just arbitrarily requires a lot more parking than they need. I do think it would be good on all these is to keep, even if we reduce the parking, green area. Yeah, so because stores will change. I mean, you can have a Sendex that turns into a Pick and Save just like that. Or, you know, Blockbuster, when they came in, remember when they came to the city 20, 25 years ago, they told us that they know they're going to get phased out. They knew that Blockbuster, someday, there would be a different method of listening to movies. And so they built a very rectangular store that would be usable for other uses. So we're going to change uses, but maybe kind of be sure that we have some green area. So if they do need more parking, it could be done. And, you know, I think that's one thing. When we do this, when we start reducing the numbers, just be sure there's some green area. So if we need, in addition to smoke storage, that if they need more parking, it's able to be done, but don't force them to pay for it.
The area we had Chops of Legend Creek, and we've had proposals where that used car lot is. With all of our requirements and parking and spaces and all that, pretty soon they're encroaching upon the wetlands. And there may not be anything that can ever go in there that's feasible until such time as the parking restrictions are, I guess, in sync or in harmony with whatever they're going to construct. Because on the other corner, you also have wetlands. But a lot of people have said to me that they would like to see that become like the the centerpiece of the city. The nice urban center of like the, or that you've got at Bayshore. I think Bayshore is very nice. I think giving the plan commission some flexibility to work with developers is really what's needed. I think there's a lot of things in the Unified Development Ordinance that, as I told Mr. Meehan when he was here, that I thought that he wanted those to be guidelines and not ordinances. There's just way too many restrictions, and you know, people are handcuffed from not being able to be creative with proposals. So I think this goes a long ways, but I'd be with Alderman Skronsky in saying, hey, with all the changes that are in here and just getting this tonight, that you wanted to table it to the next meeting, it'd be fine with me.
No, I don't have one. If Joe, and I take him at his word, that he looked at this and put in my very compelling reasons for making these changes to make it much more usable and much more flexibility of the Plan Commission to do something, rather than having an ordinance here that our hands are so tied. It's ridiculous, and that doesn't help us for growth and economic development in this community. Because that's when I talk to businesses, they say, holy crap, do I have to have all that parking? I don't need this. And that's ridiculous. That comes down to the bottom line. But we say, yeah, you still got to have reasonable parking, and you come down to it. And if we have that flexibility to work with it, that's great. And not going off the deep end and making it asphalt all over the place.
So that's all the stormwater issues that we have. And, I think the less impervious surfaces that we require, the better off we will be.
And the thing was nice with the hotel. They did that, the brick and everything, mm-hmm. that it saturated through, which helped tremendously. And things like that, even if things got a little tight, maybe in developments they can do sections of that to help offset that stormwater management. And artistically and decorating, architecturally, it'll look nice. They can do centers for people to congregate in and things like that and still have a hard surface under it and still have plenty of greenery around it. Just be creative about it. That's all.
I get the most, too, is why so many parking spaces? We don't need it. Just, one size doesn't fit all. That's what we got here.
Right.
Now, Sendix, I think that we agreed to reduce it, and now I bet you they would love to have more space over there.
But you're under the extension of that area.
I would make a motion for approval. Okay. At the planning commission.
Would this be kind of the motion you make? A motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text to amend section chapter 15-5.0203 and table chapter 15-5.0203 to reduce off-street parking space and on-site weighing requirements for non-residential uses with the content as presented to the commission on April 21st, 2011. Is that your motion?
That is my motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
And the guy from Cancun seconded it? Any?
What's a good name? Cancun or Bazelon or all points down in there.
Right. Any further
the
discussion?
Engineer from Ipanema.
All right, enough for Bali. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. I have it. Motion carries.
Is this a charming atmosphere compared to Tuesday night?
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to scream and stuff up pretty soon.
Yeah. Let's see. We're on item 3D, City of Franklin. I've lost my agenda. There we go. Ordinance amendments to Division Chapter 15-9.0300 in accordance with the state statute changes set forth in 2009 Wisconsin Act 376. I bet you have another notice.
There is another notice.
Mr. Fuchs.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 21st, 2011 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by the City of Franklin for an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Division 15-9.0300 and related provisions to comply with 2009 Wisconsin Act 376, provisions relating to modification to platting process requirements for subdividers, including but not limited to approval timing, development phasing, and financial security.
All right, I'm going to open up item 3D for public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding item 3D? Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing concerning item 3D? Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Deedle, what is your pleasure?
The staff is recommending approval on this one as well. The city attorney did make one change to the draft ordinance in Section 4. We had discussed this item at the March meeting. The city engineer, to a large degree, had a concern, same with staff, about this phasing issue. How and when could the city assess fees and security bonds and those kinds of things when the developer was phasing the project? However, the change the city attorney made, he changed that wording to be exactly the same as the state law. So we're pretty much tied in terms of this phasing and when we can charge and how much we can charge. And the city attorney just changed the wording to match exactly the state law.
Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, I agree that the city attorney that probably has to be matched with the statutes. But to me, there's a real danger in this that you've got to be real careful with. And as long as I'm around here, I'll remind you of it. But once they plat, if they don't put security down for what they plat, that goes to the registered deeds. And even though they don't put in the public improvements, they can start selling lots. So here's some individual buys a lot, and it's in phase two, and they decide not to go ahead with phase two because or they go bankrupt or whatever. Comes back to the city, says, well, you let them plat that, and they didn't put streets in. What's going on here? So I think you've got to be real careful, and I still think that the state statute isn't 100% right, because let them come in with a preliminary plat and then phase it with final plats. But to me, whatever they record in the courthouse, they have to put security up for putting in the public improvements. If you don't, you're treading on thin ice, especially as we've seen what's happened here. And, you know, banks now have over half our subdivisions that weren't completed. They're all being completed by banks. If we didn't have security, it wouldn't be completed. So it's really important that we do what we've always done. We go in the preliminary plat, and they technically agreed, had eight additions, because we had the sewer moratorium on, we only give them a few lots at a time, but eight additions. But they phased it per final plat, so we had Tuckaway Green addition number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But you do make them put the security down for everything they plat. And, you know, I think the way that the statute is worded, it doesn't really say that. But that's terribly important. I've been in this for almost 40 years now, and I did my master's thesis on subdivision development. And it's real important that we get security for what's ever recorded, because they can go sell. I mean, maybe you're a little dumb to buy a lot that doesn't have any improvements on it, but there are people that
will do more often than not.
Mr. Fowler?
Jack, if I understand this correctly, then what you're saying is not the final plat when they do the final plat, but it's actually when they register. If they have, let's say they have a development, they've got three phases, and they're selling phase one, then they suddenly, during phase one, they actually go register phase two and phase three. We would then say, if you go register the deeds for phase two and phase three, you now have to come back to us and give us, not that they haven't done anything with the final plat, so they have the final plat on phase one, but they go register the deeds on phase two and phase three. We would then say, you must give us a development agreement on phase two and phase three. Or whatever section.
They can phase it But whatever they do is a recorded subdivision must be what they put their security in.
So, I mean, I'm a little confused.
Same thing that you said.
How would we, the only thing I'm confused about, how if they just said, well, we're only plotting one adjacent lot to phase one, how do we stop them from doing that? They're just saying, well, we have this, and they have access to the street that we're doing today.
Well, then we just have a subdivision development agreement for that phase.
So that would be phase one, but but the lot is in phase two, but they're saying it can be serviced by the improvements that they put in phase
one. Well, if it's in phase one, it's not a lot unless it's a recorded subdivision.
Okay.
Or a recorded certified survey map is a minor subdivision. So you can't have a lot unless you have a plat. And as all we're concerned is that when they do a plat, that we don't allow them to record the plat unless we have security.
So they would have to record the plat for all of phase two. Couldn't come back and just pick a couple lots.
Well, they wanted to do a couple lots, and then that was phase two.
They still have to do the whole thing for phase two.
No, I think they could do. I think a developer can do whatever he wants as a phase. I don't think we want to get into telling the developer how big a phase he has to do, because that's your risk in development.
Okay.
So some developers like to do little pieces. They like to get that piece sold before they go on the next. Those are probably the developers that are still around. like Leslie, as I was talking to him yesterday. And he does a little what he can take off and not get kind of go wild with big subdivisions where you have a lot of improvements in. But
so he might have multiple things.
Yeah, you can have like 8-10 phases.
Whatever. I'm in agreement with you. I want to make sure that some slick developer can come in and get around what we're trying to prevent.
I mean, as long as whatever they record, you've got security for it, you're going to be okay.
Sounds good.
So I guess the question, Jack, you're saying that staff's recommending approval of this.
Well, I don't think we have a choice because that's a state statute.
Okay, that's what I would say. But my question is given it is state law, do we have to, does it say that we have to amend? We do have to amend our unified plan. Okay.
Can we add language and change it?
I don't think so.
Can't be stricter, but so it's like in our 151. You got,
I don't
you
like
have,
the
you
way
have
the
to go at least to in our 151 standards, but you can go over 151.
Yeah.
I was just going to mention that the wording does give us a little, the common council gives the common council a little bit of flexibility, both in the phasing and in the security arrangements. The Common Council may approve the subdivision in phases, but the Common Council can't withhold its approval unnecessarily or unreasonably. So the Common Council can direct the developer, you shall have a phase this big, you can only have this many phases, you could do that, but it has to be reasonable. So there's a little bit of flexibility for the council to say about phases. The second part is, again, that the amount of surety, bond, or security required by the council shall be limited to the phase of the project being constructed. But it also has a little bit of flexibility that the council may not require the subdivider to provide security for improvements sooner than reasonably necessary. So if we can prove that it's reasonably necessary to do ask for a little bit more, I think we've got a chance. But if the developer wants to fight us on it, it would be a fight. But I think there's flexibility, a little bit of flexibility for the council.
You know, with some of the uncertainty of Madison these days, this was passed by the former Wisconsin State Legislature. This isn't going to be amended or changed.
I haven't heard of anything yet, but the people that were asking for this were the builders and the realtors. I think they're still being listened to.
Never mind.
They'll add a cherry to the top of it.
I think what the city attorney would say is that a plat is an administrative review. A person has a right to develop a parcel of land. If the zoning is correct and he meets all the criteria the city has, the city does not have the right to say you can't develop that piece of land. It's an administrative review. And the Planning Commission says, does it meet our comprehensive master plan? Does it meet our zoning? But not, I don't want you to develop that piece of land because all the people around it would like to have it vacant. It's really, as the state says, it's an administrative review. And that's that's why there's a lot of rules that you have to take actions to get you postponing and things like that.
It's tricky.
For a reason.
I was going to point out what Joel was saying is that, I mean, the only flexibility we have is within the definition of reasonability, but that can also be taken the other way, or the developer can say you're being unreasonable. Right. So I think we just have to live with it. The one concern I had as I read through this, and then I see that the city attorney used the exact language from the state, but this section 4, I guess at the end of the second last sentence, it basically says that the bond shall be limited to the phase of the project that's currently being constructed. I had actually thought that we needed some other language in there, but maybe my suggestion might be that there's a parenthesis added to the tail end of phase. My concern being, I'm going to make this simple, is a developer could be halfway through phase 2, say I'm going to trigger phase 3, and all we can do is the current phase. So I'm trying to get some language in there that would say any current phases or any open phases. So if we just took simply and at the end of phase had parent S, then that, I wish the city attorney was here to speak to that, but I could construe this if I was a developer saying, you need to give me back my security on the phases I haven't finished yet. You can only take me on the one that I'm starting now. Again, it's semantics, but that's oftentimes what it does. So I guess my suggestion would be that maybe we run that past the city, depending on the action of the city attorney. That might give us additional protections to say, you've got two phases uncompleted yet, and we're not releasing the surety just because you're starting another.
Is there some urgency to get this done?
Yes, there was a deadline, 7 months. Yeah. I believe it was 7 months.
I'll give you the suggested motion.
And then up this issue with the common council if necessary.
I'm fine with the way it is. I just think that we should ask the city attorney if that parenthesis would solve it, or there's another insertion of a word or two. He's taken it verbatim from state statute.
Well, I'll give you the motion that was prepared for me tonight by the city attorney. That's a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend unified development ordinance text to amend Division Chapter 15-9.0300 and related provisions to comply with 2009 Wisconsin Act 376 provisions relating to modifications to planning process requirements for subdividers, including but not limited to approval, timing, development, phasing, and financial security. Is there a motion to that effect?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Right. So moved and seconded. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, just, I guess, to my comment, if we could have the city attorney look at maybe that simple insertion before it goes to the council, might give us a little additional objections.
My guess is that would be interpreted as applicable to any phase that's currently under construction. I think it's probably, a little too narrow to presume that there would be only one phase. I think that would be applied to any phase. My curiosity would be, this is not something we discussed, but in the recordation, and I realize this is just a modification for our existing language, but it's sort of presumed that we somehow assert authority over what the Register of Deeds can or cannot do. It strikes me as unlikely.
Yeah.
So I would think if anybody wanted to challenge that particular section of the UDO, they would probably prevail, because I don't think it's within the authority of the City of Franklin to regulate what the Register of Deeds can or cannot do, and that's what this seems to do. But nevertheless, it's there, and the revision is just to conform to state statute, and I understand that's something
that makes us
feel good. Just a quick question. They talk about reasonableness of the development, and could we prove that if we had developers selling lots to people, then not improving and not fulfilling those promises of a different phase, would that not be the past practice? Of reasonableness, that we can say, in the past, you have not followed through with improvements, and we are going to make you do a surety on all of your phases if we have a developer who has pulled that in time. Would that be a reasonableness that we could
surety the past?
Generally speaking, I'll broaden it up to just planning in general. That by itself would not be enough. we'd have to have more to go on than that. That would help the argument, but I don't think it would be enough. You'd have to say that there were a lot of similarities between his past history and practices and this one. Because he would make the argument, yes, the facts state I did that thing wrong back then, but I swear on a stack of Bibles that it'll never happen again. We'd have to show that, like, it's like the next phase of that same development. He screwed up the previous phases. This is the next phase of that same development. Then we'd have an easier time arguing that point. But if it was one subdivision over there and another subdivision over here, it'd be harder to build that case. I think we would need more.
I think this issue now that I'm thinking about a little bit more, I think the reason that the state legislature put this forward was because of that Supreme Court case, the Tahoe, the takings laws, and that it wasn't the city of Franklin that was involved. It was one of the 1,850 municipalities or several, maybe up in the northern part of the state, that decisions were not being made because they were professional planners. Decisions were being made on, well, you know, I don't like Bob because his nephew... And you're not gonna, and we're the council, and so we're not gonna let you develop that land. So it had more to do with takings, and they just said, okay, fine, let's put something in place so people can't fool around. I mean, I don't think when they were thinking about the law, they thought about the unified development ordinance in the city of Franklin. Probably had more to do with Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and you know, rural areas.
Yeah, for sure.
Bob versus Tom.
Yes. Can't find on that land anymore or something like that.
Well, you know what? I think it had to do with hunting.
Preserves.
Anyhow, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. And let's see. City Development Annual Report. Everybody have that in front of them? A couple questions. Does this include all the work that was done regarding trying to get us to the comprehensive master plan to get it through? And
we just caught the tail end of that in 2010. The bulk of the work was done in 2009, so we don't say very much about it here.
Okay, what about the overall mission of the city, the one that was adopted, we're trying to achieve the 70-30?
I don't think we say 70-30. We do reference the vision statement and the mission statement, but I don't think we specifically say 70-30. We do touch on the development review process. We started doing some of that in 2010, so we do talk about the development review process changes, and then, of course, the park plan.
About pre-sewer, post-sewer?
No. Although... for the sewer service area planning for the Ryan Creek Interceptor Sewer. So this year, in 2011, we will say something about that.
Where's that?
So it'll be in the next year's.
And pardon?
When we talk about 2011, we'll have something on that.
So this is only for 10?
Yeah. This is only 2010 and only the planning department's work.
Okay, you have the City of Franklin vision statement here, but...
Yep.
The vision statement, which I just went through, when you take everything into account, is quite a few pages.
Right. And this is the opening statement, I believe, the opening part.
Okay. I think it needs to say that and then reference the entire vision because the Common Council spent quite a bit of time on that in the Committee of the Whole meetings. And the number one thing, Alderman Scratch, you can correct me if I'm wrong, was to try and achieve the 70-30 goal laid out in the Tickner report. Now that may have involved Alderman Soans and Alderman Kozovich, etc. But I think the vision statement that was reaffirmed and adopted was pretty much the Common Council that's sitting there now that was returned to office. And it also talked about the Ryan Creek Interceptor as being a part of that. So the council, on behalf of the 35,000 people, adopted as the number one goal. Alderman Wisconsin.
Yeah, it just that, do we have an accurate accounting of where we are in those percentages?
We do rough quarterly updates.
Uh-huh.
So we have something through March of this year, but it would be only an approximate. But we do have an approximate for March of this year.
You know what it is?
No, not all.
Could you provide the Plan Commission with those? They can be approximate, and I assume approximate is not 40% spread, 5% spread on those numbers, 2%?
I would say in most instances they're very close.
Okay.
The biggest difference will be some things we track as soon as we find out about it, but it hasn't been submitted yet. So, like, if we've done a fair amount of work helping an applicant prepare for a site plan amendment, we would mention that in our quarterly report, although in our annual report, we draw the line and say they have to actually have submitted before we'll count it.
Not get an occupancy permit or took out a permit or something substantial. Say, yeah, even though they took out their building permit and it hasn't been completed, but it can't be counted because the building did pay for the permit fees and going to put the shovel in the ground.
Yeah,
yeah, I would like to see that because that makes a much more accurate discussion on where are we?
Yeah.
Rather
yeah,
than
this,
the assumptions.
This is always a snapshot in time, and now it's, you know, 4.5 months past what happened. So I would think it'd be more like a cover letter because we do want to have this as a historic document talking just about 2010. But I have no problem beefing up the language about what are the goals and policies that are supposed to be guiding the city. That's a uniform across the board fact. I have no problem putting that in. And then putting a cover letter on top of this saying preliminary count of where we are today or as close as today as we can get. I can do that.
Yeah, I would like to see that because, you know, we can't count the vacant land and everything. We're just going to count what's hard and fast.
Yep.
I'd like to see that. Yeah, thank you.
Well, and I'd like to see right off the get-go because people, I mean, when this goes out to the general public and across the universe, comprehensive master plan, finding on page 8, comprehensive master plan ate up almost 240,000 came under budget.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 or 4 years worth of work, it's going to set the stage for, I think, well beyond 2025. That should be the leading document. And then should also talk about pre-sewer, post-sewer, and the resolutions and things that were passed by plan commission, et cetera. I mean, we had, I don't know how many public hearings we had on the comprehensive master plan. And how many meetings, 30 meetings on the work group?
Yeah, if we count Common Council, the Plan Commission, and the Advisory Steering Committee, I think there were over 30 meetings.
Yeah. I mean, this should be not just the report from the City Development Department. This should be what has been accomplished by the Plan Commission, Economic Development Commission, CDA, Common Council, and the biggest one by far, in my opinion, is the Comprehensive Master Plan. And also there's an outdoor recreation plan that's in place that's going to be in place for 30 years.
I think it would be interesting if we could have a chart showing what the percentage of residential or the percentage of commercial, non-residential are each year. And we can look back to see, did we gain? Did we lose? And blow it up enough that you can actually see the, you know, the difference. But, you know, maybe we track percentage of commercial growth or non-commercial, however you want to do it, or show both. But show that each year, and then each year we can look back and say, okay, gee, we've moved closer to the 70%, or we aren't moving at all, or we're slipped a little bit.
Gee, would you like one that goes back to 2000?
Sure.
Maybe, yeah, we'll go back as far as 2000.
Yep.
In a bar graph.
Got to have a graph. This number of years.
Trying to bust his bubble. That's right.
Mr. Ritter?
Yeah. No, I'm just clarifying what was desired. Yeah.
What is that?
You agree?
Andy, what is that from?
Randy made that.
I've been doing this ever since back in the 90s. We set the 70-30 goal.
then I started doing it just to track. Are we making any progress? And I've been doing that ever since.
And that data is available?
That data was provided to the Common Council and some of the department heads after the NAIB. It's based on the tax roll. We all get our tax bills in December. Everybody knows that. It's based on, and that's based on property values as of January 1st. The levy date was in Wisconsin is January 1, even though you don't get your tax bill until December, still it's based on property values as of January 1. So here in 2011, property tax bill you're going to get in December is based on the condition of the property in January 1. So essentially, that's already set. But I won't get a tax roll file that has all those values until the tax bills are produced at the end of the year. The reason they have the years, especially a year like last year, when we did a citywide reassessment, that's a major process. It takes a long time, a certain amount of money to do it, and so that's why there's that time lag allowed. But yeah, this has been coming out every year for...
What was it back in 2000?
2007, non-residential was 17.98%. And... 17.98 in 2000, 2001, 1803, 2002, 1788, 2003, 1854, 2004, 1949, 2005, 1937, 2006, 1824, 2007, 1855, 2008, 1994, 2009, 20.4, 2010, 2239. So we've actually gone up quite a bit, but the primary reason for that is whereas residential properties were growing in value and in numbers to some extent, but certainly in value steadily and persistently year after year after year, that basically came to an end in 2009 and in 2010. Things turned around and went back for the first time. I mean, that's a historic change in this city because that's never happened in all the years I've been doing this. So actually that percentage increase in 2010 was more due to the decline in residential values than it was to a lot of business coming into town. Business properties certainly held their value better. And not every residential property finds their value. Some held their values as well, but just talking generalities on the whole. Yeah, there was some decline by January 1, 2010 in the aggregate residential values, whereas non-residential properties held their value better. So proportionately, wasn't so much a business going up as it was residential going down.
I was going to say we've had a lot of commercial development recently that's come in, but very little, any subdivisions coming in. Yeah. Mr. Fowler?
And a concern that I've always raised in the past is the fact that we have three school districts in the city. It's always interesting to look at where that business development is going in relationship to the majority of Franklin citizens are in that Franklin district. I would hazard a guess, Randy, that the Franklin school district may not even have the high 17% that might be more interested.
No, it was 14.71, whereas the whole city as a whole, 22.39 for the Franklin school district area is 14.71.
So it is lower than the city as a whole. Yes. And I think that's reflected in a lot of complaints that I hear from residents in that district about their high school tax. And Randy and I have had this discussion before. I don't know if it would help with getting more business into that particular part of the city. While it wouldn't increase our cap or increase the amount of money we have, it might distribute how the property tax burden on an individual residential property is.
It's not that they're... because they're ranked like seventh in compensation of 460.
It's almost damn greedy teachers, like my wife,
school district.
It just doesn't do anything.
That's
why in the updated comprehensive master plan, we worked hard to put commercial property on South 76th Street and Business Park, Industrial Park, out on Looms Road,
right,
wherever there was adequate transportation access to it, in order to have a place. Hopefully when the economy turns around and things get better, and now we'll have the sewer there, that there'll be places already for those kinds of developments because there's still some area, and certainly we have great hopes for 27th Street, but that's not going to do much to address
there, and you can't put everything on 27th Street anyway. So that's why in the updated comprehensive plan, we certainly look for as many places as we could that would provide opportunities for non-residential development.
And that's been the complaint. People seem to see the focus on 27th and 76th. They know there's the industrial park, but it's in the middle. So, I mean, that's been the complaint. They see that development not coming into this.
But the TIF now will be retired.
Yes.
And great. Because most people do not drive into the business park, it's just those that do have business there, they don't realize that there's been a lot of development within the business park to the point where we only have very few acres actually left, new acres that has been sold. I mean, we have, where there's Harley-Davidson, you have the facility, and then you have a lot next to it in Baptiston's. But most of it has been sold.
I'm not saying people are knowledgeable. I'm just saying they're pissed.
Well, the common council. That, I mean, that's not part of your stats, right? When we return the when we put the business park on the tax rolls, that should change.
No. The business park, all the property in the city is included here.
Okay.
Whether it's taxable. Well, business park property is taxable. It's not that the property isn't taxed, it's just where the money goes. This represents all the taxable property in the city.
Including the business park.
All good scratching.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We may be taxed on the property, but we have a lot of empty buildings that are business vacant, and those are the things that are important. Make this thing much more vibrant is fill these empty spaces as we are doing, getting people in. Now, the Garden Shopping Center looks like we're going to be filling that up. There's two more people that are going to be coming into that. So I've been talking with the management of the company, and it looks like we're going to be very, very soon be
Garden,
filling more
Garden
and
Plaza.
More. Yep, yeah, okay. Garden Plaza. So that's what we need, is to get those spaces filled, which really helps tremendously. That I don't know where that fits into it, but it's new business, but it isn't square footage that is new.
Well, for non-residential properties like that, very often valued property is based on the rents that are generated by the property. So if you've got tenants in there paying rent, that has to have an impact on the value of the property, which then will get reflected in due course. Now, this is tenants got to be in there paying rent, has to go through a reassessment process, that sort of thing. So it's a multi-step process. But yeah, as the economy gets better, the spaces fill up, business activity increases, that's going to ultimately have an effect on property values. I mean, even the decline that we saw in the last year in residential, I think there's certainly every reason to expect that that's going to turn around at some point, and the value of the start increases again. So we just, I think we've done an excellent job of working through a difficult time here. Not over yet, but we can certainly all hope the worst is behind us.
Well, and there's a number of proposals that I'm working on. It's not that there's not an interest. It's more of the financial world and getting financing for this project. But I just want to, going back to the report, given that is the number one item for the Common Council, many councils, it's not even reflected on the first page.
Yep.
How are we doing on 70-10? And then, I mean, what the Plan Commission did after 3 or 4 years is historic. And while it's a 2025 plan, I personally believe that the plan that this council worked on is not going to be modified much at all with the current state law. And so I think the plan that we've worked on is going to be pretty much it, so that it should be front center. And this is not just a report to the council, it should be a report to the public, to the...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This would be good stuff for them.
Randy, correct me, or Ken, or Jack, but when we were working on the Franklin First report, I mean, I think this we had in this room, and we had Saturdays and Sundays, and we had, 20, 25 people in here. And we went round and round for months to get that. And the whole reason for that was not because the city of Franklin's taxes were so high. It's because of the school district. And the whole purpose of this thing is trying to minimize the Franklin school property taxes. So that's what we need in here. I think the city of Oak Creek, its tax base is 60-40. I mean, we're trying to strive to 70-30. I think they're already at 60-40, and they're putting up, not to say that I would recommend us doing the same, but, you know, they're putting up hotels and restaurants and businesses left and right. I mean, I think there's going to be a point down there where the people are going to say, if they aren't saying it already, you know, it's starting to look a little bit like Chicago or New York, I guess. But anyhow.
I would like to say I think the Franklin Trails Committee write-up is good, and unless other members of the Trails Committee have been invited, I was very pleased with that write-up.
What?
Insider writing.
Very good insider. I want to thank Nick for all his hard work on that Trails Committee. Again, if I don't say it enough, Nick does a great job.
I just I think that this needs to go back, and we met today, and we couldn't touch base on Friday, but... this document needs to be something that is a little bit more than a report from you to me or to the council. This has to be a document that goes out to the whole world, right? So I would I'd ask that there be a motion to table this until the next meeting of the Planning Commission.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussions? Just one, and I'm going to look at Mr. Nickley and ask if you could assist with your talent and writing skills, maybe assist the planning department putting a document together that not only is for the Common Council, but it's for the world.
I can do so.
Okay. All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. And where are we next? Ad hoc. Only that I'm preparing to appoint a new member to the mayoral ad hoc development review process. I think I may have mentioned it at the last plan commission meeting. He's a person from works on for Veolia. It's all over the place. Putting him on there because he actually came to us with lots and lots of complaints. So here's your opportunity to help change things. So with that, Franklin Trails Committee?
Just a few items to report. We did get approval at the last council meeting of sending John to Minneapolis to participate in the Safe Routes to School conference. I think it's our third annual conference, and John has, I think, got all of his registration is taken care of, and I think we're set on him going to that. We also, at the last council meeting, proposed a forming of a grant writing committee. The original proposal that the committee put together was modified slightly by Alderman Wilhelm. I think we now have it's going to be a subcommittee of the Trails Committee. I haven't seen the resolution, but I think that will work fine. It's basically for a group to pursue grants, not only just for the Trails Committee, but for the city as a whole. And I think we were able to accomplish that. And then finally, we had a meeting April 12th at Pleasant View School. We picked the wrong week. We should have picked this week when the weather was crappy, but we picked the week when the weather was nice. But we did end up, I think, with about 30 people that attended. We gave a brief introductory report about what the Safe Routes to School could do for the Pleasant View area, and we had targeted maps. And Nick and the planning staff did a great job of buying us with information to have at tables. There was a presentation and then a chance for the public to provide input. I thought it was well attended, and I look forward to the report, which we don't have yet, from our consultant who actually facilitated the meeting. And again, I'd like to thank planning staff for their excellent job on that. And also Ron Romeis for preparing some of the documents we use for the trail. We did have a complaint, Mayor, and I understand that you received a letter or an email from
Tim Birch.
Yeah, and if possible, I don't know if that's something I can see. I'd like to see that. I'm going to try to address those complaints. My thought on that having been at those meetings, and I'll turn it over to other people that were at the meeting. That was a public information meeting, and we were not there to try to direct the public in any direction. And if they said things that offended or caused concern for people in attendance at the meeting, we were, again, not trying to direct the conversation. And the conversation did at times stray probably away from the primary goal of the committee, but it wasn't our goal to tell them not to go there. I didn't see that, particularly at the tables I sat at, but I do want to the mayor and the planning commission to know that we plan to address that. I plan to invite Tim to come to one of the meetings so he can express those concerns that he had. But if I can see that, I don't know if it was a private communication. If it was, that's fine. But
I'll just say this about that, because I just answered Mr. Birch before I came here. Aldermen don't work for mayors, and mayors don't work for aldermen. And we can talk to each other, and we can advise each other. But the mayor does not say to Alderman Skronsky, you are going to do this, you are going to do that. Because that's what I would get, and appropriately so. And the same holds true with the aldermen and me. I'm not staff. I report to the people, and the aldermen report to the people. But I did share some of the concerns with a certain alderman, and my response was pretty much what you just said, a listening session. That's the way I saw it. We're supposed to be there to listen to the public, not to try and coax them one way or the other. Just if their opinion is different than us, so noted. And, maybe it's possible that all of us might be on the wrong track. I think that that meeting was fairly well attended, and I agree. I think staff did a nice job on getting all the materials and stuff together. I thought that there was going to be quite a few more people.
I did as well.
And, I only picked up on, when we were talking about 51st Street, I thought that there was total consensus. Maybe move this tree and that tree, or put it over there, put it. When we got over to the Pleasant View School, from what I picked up is many of the neighbors were going, one, why are you spending our tax dollars? Who's authorized that? And two is there was a disagreement as to whether there should be a path at all. I only picked up a little bit. I was actually talking to Kevin while he moved away from the table for a while.
My only concern, and I think John might want to weigh in on this, my thoughts on, there were a couple of strong voices at a couple of the tables that seem to, in any public information, ones I do for the series, the same issue can arise at times when one person who is a dominant personality has an opinion, he sometimes drags others with him. It's hard to say. The feeling I got from several of the individuals that I talked to on an individual basis was, one, there is consensus about sidewalks for 51st Street. That seems to be a given. Now, I didn't know how many of the property owners along 51st Street were there, which might have changed that opinion, but that seems to be a consensus. And also that we need to have safer avenues for people to cross Rawson Avenue. And then as far as the trails, I think people were talking about trails in close vicinity to Pleasant View School. I don't know if that non-trail was also talking about the park area that's to the south and west. And I also had a conversation with one resident who wanted to know who was paying us to be there, and I explained to him that we were not being paid. It was a volunteer effort on the most part, except for the staff that was there, of course, as part of their job. But he seemed to be surprised by that.
I found it one of our most interesting meetings because generally when we have people get together to talk about trails or walking or connectivity or something, their stake in it is usually either they have property nearby and they're worried about where that path might be, or they generally want their kids or their elderly parents or something to be able to get around. What we had going on at one table, which I hope happens again because I think these things have to be brought up, was we had two individuals married whose attitude was, you shouldn't spend a penny on anything, anywhere, anytime, any place. And so it was interesting to talk to that, what I would call a certain psychosis. I have a certain psychosis. They have a certain psychosis. And it was interesting to hear that, for instance, if there is a path behind the high school that squirrels behind a house, to them, that's the way it should be. And then to explain back to them, well, the problem with that is the following, and then you go through, to have them look at you, and the first thing they say is that trail taxed? That's the first thing. Is that trail taxed?
Taxed.
Taxed. And then I ask, we tax the trail? He goes, no. Is it taxed? Meaning, do we pay a tax for the trail? And they say, well, we're looking for ideas so that we could then eventually get a grant. Well, we paid for the, you know where we're going with this. This is a certain psychosis that people have. So that was interesting. However, Mr. Birch, who communicated with me via email and after the meeting, I asked him to please come to more meetings. I think he was well-spoken. A lot of the angst that he experienced, I think he would be the first to admit, he has sort of a personal, private, quiet sled dog area back there now.
Yeah.
And if I were him, I would want that to stay that way as well. So that was his point of contention was, gee, everything is so nice back there and quiet, and I'd love to keep it that way. But he also made points where we're talking about getting from A to B, and everything in between A and B, we need someone to say, well, this is what's in between A and B and why it's important to me. And he was there to do that, and that was a good thing. And I told him, I'm going to make sure you know when the meetings are. I'm going to take you up on your offer to go walking out there, and if we get more snow, we'll get the dogs out, and we'll go do that. I think as far as any argument he had with me, we resolved it that night very nicely. We're friends now, and we're friends on what you call it, Facebook, right? So that's a good thing. And he's also on the Safe Routes to School Facebook page and everything. So overall, the night, if there's a failing that we had that night, it's that unlike our first public meeting, we let the school district handle contact with parents and the public and getting invitations out. And they waited until the very last minute. And in fact, I don't want to name names, but someone in the school district acted a lot like students usually do when you ask them to do something. They issue a plausible denial thing where, what did you send, is the question. And then they say, well, we will send. And I said, did you say will? And we had a little back and forth, and sure as heck it went out the next day. If anything, you got to make sure you do these things up ahead and you publicize them correctly. But, you know, we had people there. We had a good divergence of opinion. And I want people at these things who have that divergence of opinion. If we're preaching to the choir every time, that's not going to be any good. So overall, a good meeting. I hope we have more like it. And I hope next time we just got to make sure that we control more of the invitations and the public contact and don't put it in the hands of a third party that we can't control.
Yeah, it's very easy for us with GIS to send out invitations. We don't even have to have touch pen to paper. Just come up with a mailing list and a spreadsheet. Real easy. And I was surprised too that we didn't handle the invitations. But I understand that's the way it was arranged. But
we're trying, and I think hopefully we'll have more success next time to get buy-in from the school district. And letting them participate is a good way to get buy-in. But I agree with John, there were some shortcomings. I wouldn't say failures, but shortcomings. How they participate. But I am trying to foster that relationship because I think they're going to be an important partner for us if we move forward on the Safe Routes to School side. But as the mayor reminds me on a regular basis, 51st Street sidewalk, they're not going to have anything to do with that. So we're going to, I mean, they will, they won't, but I mean, but that's going to be our kind of, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Got it.
Just on the taxing issue, that's normally how all most of my conversations start off. believe it or not, the public is usually saying, hey, nice this, nice that, whatever, parade, good fireworks, stuff like that. There are some that are just, I don't know, I guess of a belief that government operates differently than their households with paying bills like heat and all that. And, you know, there's or maybe police officers work for free or tornado. There's been some opinions, I think, on the tornado siren and some forth. So that's a waste of money. So I think you got a piece of what I get out of it.
Just to finish up, we are going to be getting, I think Nick and I will be talking about the task force will be getting together perhaps in the near future. We don't think Pat's going to have a report ready for that meeting.
Probably not the next.
Yeah, so we'll probably, we're talking about perhaps having the task force meeting sooner rather than having a task force meeting with the next regular trails committee and then having then bring the report back. So we're making progress.
Well, I think you guys are doing terrific. Absolutely terrific.
We need the PM.
For government, you're about 7 years ahead of schedule.
Well, wait till we come back from asking for money for the sidewalk. That'll be fun. I'll be bringing my. I'm going to come on a meeting like that Tuesday where you guys are pissed at each other.
You want?
Let me know when you're coming in. I'll be off that week. So. All right. Anything further? Not. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So
moved. Seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Have a happy Easter, everybody.
Yes.